All right, the Raptors in Dallas tonight taking on the Mavericks. And I saw earlier today, I think it was up on NBA TV, they were going back and forth, KG and others, on who you would start your franchise with. And would it be Luka Doncic? Would it be Ja Morant? And, you know, when you think of young studs in the NBA, those are two guys kind of leading the charge right now.
Well, when Luka was in the bubble down in Orlando, he was out of his mind good.
Yeah.
Like, he was the best player in the world.
He's a triple-double machine, you know, which Russell Westbrook was that guy, still is that guy in many ways. That doesn't mean you're going to win titles, and it doesn't mean that you're all around the best player necessarily. Your triple-double today does not mean what it did 20 or 30 years ago.
I'd like to see Luka tip-top shape. I don't think he's there.
I'm not sure he is either. Here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. Where does Luka rank for you in terms of must-see, Josh, and in terms of a building block in the NBA?
Pretty high. You mentioned two guys. You can't go wrong with either of them in Morant and Doncic. I do worry a little bit about Ja. We've already seen him get hurt a few times, and it almost reminds me of like Derrick Rose, just in terms of his style of play and how reckless he can be sometimes, reckless in a good and fun way if you're a basketball fan. But in terms of his overall durability over the course of his career, I worry a little bit about that. But there isn't a player in the NBA that I would rather watch right now than Ja Morant. And Luka Doncic is probably, I mean, he's easily in the top five of that list right now. And, I mean, probably pretty close to two or three, just given all the different things he can do on the floor and how much he impacts the game. And with that said, I mean, Dallas has been a little bit disappointing this year, I think, to your point, I'm not sure that Luka's been in tip-top 100% game shape this year, because the Mavs, I think, going into this season, looked at themselves as a championship contender, and they've been closer to a 500 team, a middle-tiered playoff team, than they have been a contender so far this year.
And this will be an opportunity for the Raptors to bounce back. You know, I thought they played well the other night, and it feels like we talk about the bench or the lack thereof and the minutes being dispersed on almost a daily basis here, and it was more extreme the other night than it has been at any point this season. There were seven guys that hit the court. Six of them played all night. Like, it's basically a six-man rotation right now for Nick Nurse, and that can't possibly continue, but will it possibly continue tonight?
It might, if Gary Trent isn't playing. We know that Kem Birch is out, so there's one guy that we know Nick Nurse trusts that's in his circle of trust and his rotation that's not going to be around. And if Gary Trent isn't playing, then, yeah, I mean, the six guys that primarily played the minutes the other night, that just speaks to how many guys in this rotation or on this roster that Nurse trusts right now. It's tough. Because I agree with you, I don't think it's a sustainable thing over a long period of time, especially going into the second half of the season with this jam-packed schedule where the Raptors are already making up games. They had three of them postponed that they've got to make up here. So you're playing a lot of games in a short amount of time. You're already asking a lot from your starters, and to be playing Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam 42-plus minutes every other night, in some cases every night, like that's not going to work. But also, I understand where Nurse is coming from, because what's the answer right now? Do you turn to Svi Mihailuk, who's been a borderline disaster over the last couple months?
That's Carlo's guy, Josh. You can't say that about him. That's Carlo's guy.
That's his guy.
Yeah, well, Utah Watanabe, I mean, he hasn't looked like the same player since coming back from the COVID protocol.
And what was he
Neither
before that anyway? You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, but what did you expect out of Yuta? You know what I mean? Like, a couple of flashes, but let's be honest, not a guy you want playing 35 minutes a night on a legit
team. That's why I think right now this is more of a Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster front office problem than it is a Nick Nurse problem. I mean, it is a Nick Nurse problem in the sense that he's got to deal with it every night, but there is no right answer right now for Nick. You're either leaning on the six guys that you trust and you're overworking them, overusing them, or you're turning to guys that are probably going to give you subpar minutes and maybe cost you games. So I really think that the solution here, that's going to come down to what the front office does over the next few weeks leading into the trade deadline, because even if you have those two guys that I mentioned in Trent and Birch, okay, there's the nine-man rotation. Instead of seven guys, you got nine guys, which is an NBA rotation. But things happen over the course of the year. We got Birch, his knee injury seems like it's going to be a lingering thing over the course of the year. You're going to have all sorts of things that come up where at least one or two of those guys probably aren't playing most nights. So they need to get deeper, and the only way to do that right now is in the trade market. They've got a few weeks to figure that out.
Josh, you mentioned the front office. What could they do? What kind of transaction, if you're a Raps fan and you're listening, would go down where you'd be like, man, I hope they do that? What is something that would be out there?
Oh, the sense that I get from speaking to people around the league and even people with the team is that the Raptors intend to be a buyer going into the deadline. In terms of what that means, though, like, I don't think they're in a position to buy if it comes at the expense of their long-term future. That's not going to happen. And I think the Goran Dragic situation is a good indication of that, right? Because they've got a player technically on their roster in Dragic who could be useful to them right now. Like, I think he'd help. He'd give you minutes off the bench, a reliable veteran player that can shoot a little bit, score a little bit.
Why is that ship
where they don't?
Why is that completely sailed, that ship, Josh? Like, why can't either side be professional and say, get your ass back to Toronto and play? Like, you're under contract,
man,
play.
That is like a weird one, man.
I get that it's a unique scenario, and it's very uniquely NBA for that matter. But he's still on contract. The announcement was personal reasons, you know, all good, see you later. I think we all know that that's ridiculous. Why can't a phone call be made, smarten up, let's go, and let's for the likelihood of both parties and the betterment of both parties?
The Raptors don't want him. And I know that Dragic has taken a lot of heat since the trade for his comments initially after the trade that Toronto wasn't his preferred destination and all that. But to Dragic's credit, he showed up. He was a member of this team early in the season. He was a good teammate to the young guys, a good presence in the locker room. But Dragic made it very clear. I mean, he made it very clear to us when we spoke to him for on the Raptors beat, Nikki and I. And he made it very clear to the team that he wanted to play. Like, he sees himself still as a contributor in the league. He wanted to play. The Raptors didn't want to play him. Like, they tried for a few games, and ultimately the decision they made, and this is where I was going with that point with Dragic, the decision that they made is, we're not going to waste minutes on a guy that we don't see being here in a year from now. And we always knew that was the reality with Dragic. He's a free agent coming up. Even if he played a role this year, he's not going to be here next year. They didn't want to waste those minutes on a guy that isn't part of their long-term plan. So those minutes initially were going to Banton and Flynn. Now they're going to Barnes and Siakam. And that's why I say, like, maybe there's a guy out there like an Eric Gordon, right? Like, who clearly Houston's going to be trying to move. He's not a part of their plans either. And he would help the Raptors this year, but he's also not a part of their long-term plan. So I don't see them making a move like that. I don't see them, especially if it's going to cost them something, I don't see them bringing in a guy if it's not going to be part of the long-term plan. So that, I think, is what the Raptors are thinking going to deadline, is like, who can we get that maybe raises the ceiling this year but is also going to be part of a long-term future? And that's a tough thing to – that's a tough thread to find in the NBA to be able to check off both of those boxes.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you pull that off. And I'm curious how the organization feels about Malachi Flynn, less so Delano Banton. He's younger. He just got here. He's a second-round pick. But Flynn, you know, was a guy I think they felt like they kind of stole at the end of the first round. Four-year college guy, older kid, had a great summer league. Where is he in terms of what they actually expect? Because they're not even looking at him. Nick Nurse is not even giving him garbage time at this point. He's just not playing.
Yeah, and it started pretty much in training camp, right? Because in speaking with Malachi and his representatives, the assumption that they made, the indication that they got going to the season was that the backup point guard gig was his to lose, and then he essentially loses it in training camp. Delano Banton steals the job. So whatever Nick Nurse was looking to see from Flynn, clearly he didn't see it in training camp and hasn't seen it since. Yeah, I mean, he's gotten a few looks in the rotation. At no point, I don't think, has he really impressed with that opportunity. But at the same time, sort of get it from his standpoint, if you're Malachi Flynn, where you don't have consistent minutes, you're in there for like, I don't know, like a look here and there once every few weeks. Like it's hard to build any kind of momentum or rhythm in that situation. But clearly he's not doing enough right now in practice to earn those reps. Right now they're going without a backup point guard before they've turned to him or instead of turning to him.
Yeah, it's going to be – at some point the levee's going to break because, you know, if you're – I understand why they want to make the playoffs. They're trying to make the playoffs. You're a competitive team. It's pro sports. But how does that jive with also trying to develop and grow and think about the plan 2 or 3 years down the road? Feels like that's the crosshairs right now, Josh, specifically with Flynn and Banton, I think, because you know they're going to get exposed. But if they're just traveling and practicing, what's the point of them even being around?
Right, and that's why it is kind of tough to understand the vision here for the rotation with Nick Nurse and the way that he's handing out these minutes versus the front office and the way they maybe would be liking Nurse to hand out these minutes. Because, yeah, they're clearly, front office is clearly prioritized development. It's one of the reasons why Goran Dragic isn't around, and one of the reasons why I question whether they're willing to go out there and throw out a draft pick or two draft picks in order to bring in immediate help. But yeah, at one point, not long ago, Malachi Flynn seemed like an important part of the future. Delano Banton is probably a part of the future. So if that is the priority, is development, then those guys need to be playing. But it's tough as a head coach. Like, you want to win these games. And Nick Nurse is a competitor. He wants to make the playoffs. So there does seem to be some sort of a divide in terms of the short-term vision right now. So I do wonder, talking about the trade deadline, is there somebody that checks off both of those boxes? Because there are a few needs on this team that need to be addressed. We talk about the center position all the time. I think they desperately need another shooter on the wing, and we've seen that recently. Like, Mihailuk, Utah Watanabe are not going to give you that. Especially with Trent out, that need has been glaring. And then do you need to bring in a backup point guard? So I don't know. Like, the type of player, if we're talking about center position, Jakob Poeltl, like the former Raptor in San Antonio, he's a guy that's young enough that maybe he fits the long-term plan while also addressing a short-term need and raising the ceiling right now. I think those are the types of players that they're going to be looking at right now. I don't know that it's especially likely that you're going to be able to get one, especially without giving up a first-round pick. But I think that's what the hope is going into the trade deadline, that they can find a guy like that.
Right. Well, we'll see. It'll be a good one tonight in Dallas. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter.